far-right leader who wants to overturn France's relationship with Europe. Emmanuel Macron attracted centrist voters from both right and left. Marine Le Pen's own version of patriotism values everything that Emmanuel Macron does not. Leave the euro, slash immigration, and clamp down on free trade.
And that's the news headlines at 8:30 Central African time.
Africa, rise and shine. Africa, zorka. Africa, amka na unai.
Thank you. And UN Refugee Agency, UNHCR, says thousands of children have fled a spike in violence in the Democratic Republic of Congo in recent weeks and sought refuge in neighboring Angola to avoid recruitment by militia. UNHCR says many of the children are sick and in need of urgent assistance amid ongoing fighting in DRC's Kasai region between government and opposition forces that began in August 2016. Political unrest is growing with elections due before the end of this year after a deal allowing President Joseph Kabila to remain in office was struck last December. UNHCR's Baba Baloch speaks to Daniel Johnson.
UNHCR is seeing a spike in number of arrivals from DRC's Kasai region into Angola, and this is mainly due to the ongoing violence inside DRC's Kasai region. We have seen over 11,000 refugees arriving into northeastern Angola in villages and at the border points. Our worry is about the number of children among these refugee arrivals. Around half of them are refugee children and they're arriving in desperate condition.
What are the motivations of the parents who are sending these children alone in many cases?
Around 5,000 arrivals are refugee children that have arrived. And we have heard from those that are arriving that parents were fearing that if these children, many of them are coming unaccompanied as well, if they had stayed back in the DRC's Kasai region, they would have been forcibly recruited by the militia groups to fight on their behalf. So as a precaution, parents have sent children as well. But overall, the situation for children is quite dire. Many are arriving malnourished, sick, and they need urgent and immediate assistance.
So they're arriving, they're terrified for their lives, you say, in a press release earlier, and you say conditions are dire. Where exactly are they being helped? I believe mainly they've arrived in Dundo, the capital of northeastern Luanda, Norte province.
Exactly. They have arrived into border villages and other border towns. Currently, they are being hosted into makeshift sites. Some of them are with relatives, but conditions are not good or suitable for these refugees to be at these sites. So UNHCR is negotiating with the government to move these refugees to proper sites. We are also moving immediately tents and other relief items to support authorities on the ground to cope with the situation.
Moving back to the Democratic Republic of the Congo, where you say more than 1 million civilians within the country have been displaced since mid-2016 when the violence began. You know, you say there's a spike in violence this year, so presumably you're expecting a deterioration of the situation there and in neighboring countries.
Indeed, that's the fear. Since the last 3 months of this year, we have seen more people arriving in Angola. Inside DRC's Kasai region, since last year, violence has increased and it has affected civilians and particularly children. If this goes on and there's no immediate solution, probably more people would be forced to flee. And currently, the daily average is already in hundreds, those that are arriving in Angola. That's why UNHCR is repeating its call on governments in the region that if those people who need to flee violence and insecurity in the Kasai region, borders should be kept open for them. And we also welcome Angola's gesture so far that they have allowed refugees to seek safety in Angola.
And final question to you, in terms of access to the central Kasai regions, how are you operating? Are you managing to get children vaccinated? Because I believe hundreds of health centers are now closed, schools are closed. What's the general access situation in the Democratic Republic of the Congo for UNHCR and your partners?
Well, talking to our colleagues on the ground in DRC, it appears it's very difficult. We are planning in the coming days a visit by our colleagues and other humanitarian partners, also going to have a look. Humanitarian access is difficult as far as we understand, and many people, over 1 million being displaced now, are in need of humanitarian assistance. But also, on the other side, in Angola, where refugees are arriving, these are remote corners of northeastern Angola. We hope to increase our presence in those areas as well. UNHCR tomorrow, on this coming Saturday, is sending an additional team to support the authorities to help refugees.
That was UNHCR's Baba Balo speaking to UN Radio's Daniel Johnson. It's 8:11 Central African time and you're listening to Africa Rise and Shine. Hundreds of Burundians took to the streets of the capital Bujumbura this past weekend to protest against the request by the facilitator in the Inter-Burundian Dialogue to grant immunity to suspects in the 2015 failed coup plot to allow them to participate in the talks. Protesters asked for the suspected 2015 coup plotters to be extradited to Burundi to face justice. During the protest, demonstrators slammed Rwandan President Paul Kagame for his alleged involvement in the Burundi crisis. Bernard Bankukira reports from Bujumbura.
These are protesters in the capital Bujumbura on this weekend. They were called to the streets by some civil society organizations close to the government in order to say no to the recent request formulated by former Tanzanian President Benjamin William Mkapa, the facilitator in the Inter-Burundian Dialogue, in favor of the suspected persons in the failed military coup of May 13, 2015. Protesters waving their placards crossed several streets of the capital Bujumbura, chanting slogans calling the government to remain resolute against the requested provisional immunity, others hailing the embattled President Pierre Nkurunziza and his government. Njangwa Jibberbeko is one of the civil society organizations that organized the protests. Speaking to journalists after the events, he said the main objective was to tell to the world that the provisional immunity requested by the facilitator is not possible. Instead, those accused of being involved in the failed coup must be brought to justice.
Les organisations de la société civile, nous avons appelé la population.
Civil society organizations have called on the public to join us so that we can strongly refuse the provisional immunity that the facilitator in the Burundi dialogue has asked to the President of the Republic of Burundi in favor of coup plotters. We have also wanted to explain to the world that the provisional immunity that the facilitator, His Excellency William Benjamin Mkapa, has requested to the President of the Republic of Burundi in favor of the coup plotters does not exist, whether at the level of the United Nations, the East African community, and even at the level of the international community. The law provides that people who have committed crimes do not have the right to sit in the Inter-Burundian Dialogue. They must respond to their actions before the courts. It is therefore to deny that those who have played a role in the crimes committed cannot benefit from the provisional immunity.
Protesters also slammed the Rwandan President Paul Kagame. For Mr. Njangwa, his country is hosting criminals and thus should be sent back to Burundi instead to respond to their actions before the court.
Pendant la période depuis 2000.
2015 jusqu'à aujourd'hui, ils cherchent toujours à déstabiliser.
During the period from 2015 to the present, he is still seeking to destabilize democracy, peace and security. We want the heads of EAC member states that are expected to meet soon on 10 May 2017 to tackle the conflict between Burundi and Rwanda. Burundi has lodged a complaint against Rwanda, so the president of Rwanda should just agree to discuss with Burundi in the presence of the heads of states of the sub-region and the facilitator to see and solve the situation. We want refugees who are being prosecuted be sent back to Burundi to be tried. We want the coup plotters hiding among refugees in the camps in Rwanda to be identified and sent back to Burundi in order to respond to what they did. We urge the President of the Republic and the government not to grant immunity to those people.
Au président de la République et au gouvernement de Burundi de ne pas accepter de donner l'immunité à ces personnes. The protests were organized days after President Pierre Nkurunziza reacted to the request made by the facilitator, the former Tanzanian President Benjamin William Mkapa, who asked Burundi's president to grant provisional immunity to persons who are pursued by the judiciary for their involvement in the crisis hitting the country since April 2015. For the facilitator, the immunity would allow them to participate in the dialogue so as to end the crisis. Among them include around 30 Burundian civilian and military figures being prosecuted by the Burundian justice, who accuses them of being involved in the failed military coup of May 13, 2015, to overthrow President Pierre Nkurunziza while he was in Tanzania. Some of these personalities were arrested and later held in prisons, while others were able to cross borders to seek asylum in the other countries, including neighboring Rwanda, accused by Bujumbura of continuing to assist ill-willed Burundians who want to destabilize Burundi. Allegations that Rwanda has always rejected. For Channel Africa, this is Bernard Bankukira reporting from Bujumbura.
Let's go back in time to today. In 1970, Gambia became a republic within the Commonwealth of Nations. In 2013, current Gambian President Yahya Jammeh withdrew his country from the Commonwealth. He is reported to have grievances with Western countries lecturing African countries on human rights and democracy. That was today in history in 1970.
Africa, rise and shine.
Africa, Africa, wake up. Afrique, Afrique, réveille-toi. Africa, Africa, wema. Sun rises. Le soleil est levé. Weya wema.
What's in the happen, Africa?
Africa, Dumelang, San Bonani.
Africa, Mulishani, Mulibwanj.
Africa, Enyomi, Kilonshele.
Africa, Ndinkim, Kinkunume.
What's in the happen, Africa?
It doesn't matter where you come from. Lesotho,
Kenya,
Zambia,
Ghana,
Nigeria,
Tanzania,
Congo,
Liberia,
Togo,
Ethiopia,
DRC,
Zimbabwe,
Mauritania,
Senegal,
Sierra Leone, Liberia.
It doesn't matter where you're from. We are one people. Channel Africa.
The African Perspective.
This is DJ Cleo with
G Exploits from Nigeria.
Channel Africa.
Bringing you the African Perspective.
Tom, and you're listening to Africa Rise and Shine. We're coming to you live from Johannesburg in South Africa on the frequencies 7230 kilohertz on the 41 meter band to Southern Africa, and on 15255 kilohertz on the 19 meter band to West Africa, and on DSTV's audio bouquet channel 802. Now, South Africa's President Jacob Zuma says black people will remain poor for as long as the issue of land redistribution is not addressed and that the economy remains in the hands of the few. President Zuma was speaking during the commemoration of ANC members who were killed during political violence in areas around Mbangeni in the KwaZulu-Natal province. Zuma also attributes problems facing the ruling ANC to smear campaigns by some countries plotting regime change, both in the ANC and in the country. Busima Kusini has more.
Washu Mandela, Kubalande.
President Jacob Zuma says it's unfortunate that some within the ANC are criticizing the very same policies of the ANC aimed at transforming the economy. According to the president, black people will remain trapped in poverty if the economy is not transformed.
Economic transformation, radical, we mean a fundamental change in the structure, system, institutions, and patterns of ownership, management, and control of the economy in favor of all South Africans, especially the poor and the working class, the majority of whom are African and female. This is a well-thought-out intervention that comes after years of other attempts to transform our economy. A few in our country are controlling the levers of our economy. The wealth of this country needs to be spread out between black and white to all the people.
President Zuma blames external forces to problem facing the ANC. He says their country is plotting regime change and wants to have an influence on who should be elected during the party's national conference.
Ngoba ke ngiyazazi izinto mina anginitshele asisodwa. Kukhona ohulumeni bangaphandle abafuna ukukontrola iSouth Africa. Eingxoxweni zabo bathi uma uzokontrola iSouth Africa kufanele ukontrole iANC. Uma uzokontrola iANC kufanele ibe nomholi ozomcontrola. Wakwayizwaphi wena into yokuthi sonke sesifuna ukuba womongameli? Isitha asigcinanga ngokungena phakathi kwethu sisihlakaze ngenkathi silwela inkululeko. Sesingene phakathi kwethu ke manje sesiphethizwe. Ingakho nje sesikhuluma ilimi ngeyilimi engathi siloyiwe. Singene phakathi kwethu.
Meanwhile, ANC KwaZulu-Natal provincial chairperson Sizikarala said the party in the province will not associate itself with slates and factions during the nomination process. He said the type of leadership that should be elected during the party's national conference in December should be able to unite the organization. For SABC, I am Vusi Makosini in Bangeni.
Deputy President of South Africa's ruling African National Congress, Cyril Ramaphosa, says allegations of state capture must be put to rest from an organizational point of view to safeguard the unity and cohesion of the organization. He was speaking at the Chris Hani Memorial Lecture in Uitenhage in the Eastern Cape Province. He says he supports the view of a judicial commission of inquiry into the matter and that the ANC needs to focus on mobilizing to bring about social and economic change. Anda Ngonji reports.
Scores of people chanted struggle songs at the Babs Madlagane Hall in Uitenhage to mark the 24th anniversary of Chris Hani's passing. An anniversary coming at a time of political turmoil with allegations of state capture in the spotlight. It also follows a cabinet reshuffle that resulted in severe consequences for the country's economy. Keynote Speaker Deputy President Cyril Ramaphosa says the only solution in clearing the names of those implicated in the state capture allegation is confronting them head on.
This issue of state capture is a huge problem. And it's such a huge problem that we cannot keep, you know, sweeping it under the carpet. Because it keeps rearing its head all the time. Whatever you do, you keep hearing whisperings about it. The best way of dealing with it is to actually have it investigated by a proper structure that has all the power, the authority to call people to come and account.
Ramaphosa further touched in the importance of establishing a solid socio-economic freedom in the process of fighting some of the challenges faced by the country.
We must intensify the struggle for socio-economic freedom. We must focus our attention on the actions that are required to confront this new enemy that Comrade Chris spoke about. And some of the challenges are systemic challenges.
Former Deputy Finance Minister Bisi Jonas says the solution lies in strengthening structures within the movement.
Our people are facing huge challenges, low growth, inequality and state capture and a whole range of those things. We need to mobilize society behind those things. We need to strengthen structures of the movement. We need to build a stronger Communist Party. We need to build a stronger civil society, broadly speaking.
Jonas also lambasted the ANC's inability to take lessons from the loss of a number of metros in the municipal elections last year and warned against ignoring the signs. I am Anda Ngonji in Port Elizabeth.
The political life of South Africa's ruling African National Congress revolves around factional battles for power and corruption. This is an admission contained on one of the ruling party's discussion documents, the Organizational Renewal. Hosting a discussion on the document at the party's headquarters at Luthuli House in Johannesburg yesterday, National Executive Committee member Fikile Mbalula announced a raft of new policy proposals intended at overhauling the functioning and appeal of Africa's oldest liberation movement. Tsebo Ganeng has more.
With less than 2 months left before the ANC's crucial national policy conference, the party has tasked its members and leadership to debate on the state of the organization. The ruling party is still reeling from major voter support losses for control of key metros during last year's local government polls. At the heart of the ANC's poor showing is deepening divisions, factionalism and government corruption. ANC National Executive Committee member Fikile Mbalula says the political life of the ruling party revolves around factional battles for power.
The danger of social distance and isolation of the party from the masses, the danger of state bureaucratic and demobilization of the masses, the danger of corruption and sins of incumbency, the danger of institutionalized factionalism, ill-discipline and disunity, fueled and inspired by the battles over the control of state power and resources.
The ANC says it's also concerned with the level of ill-discipline displayed by most of the party's top leaders. ANC infighting have escalated since President Jacob Zuma's controversial cabinet reshuffle, with ministers openly opposing each other in public. Mbalula said the party had plans to rein in defiant leaders.
So when a member of the ANC expressed their viewpoint politically, either by being deployed or invited by structures, they must understand their responsibility in the organization. Now, responsibility of political leadership at the level of the ANC, NEC, means you must think before you open your mouth. Meaning, their rights as members of the NEC are limited. Members of the NEC must always articulate policy and display maximum discipline.
Meanwhile, the ANC is forging ahead in opening up leadership contestation to counter incidents of manipulation of the electoral process through vote buying. The use of money during campaigns for leadership positions has been singled out as one of the major challenges that continues to sow divisions within the ruling party.
You undermine slates, because we've been talking about slates, you are right, but what have we done about slates? We have not done anything. Slates are continuing unabated. We seek to open up the discussion. Can't we infuse in the electoral processes for people to openly express their desire to lead and stop printing funny t-shirts? Let them express themselves. Why do they think they want to become leaders of the ANC? But it is time now, given the explosion, to begin to allow people to express themselves, because it is going to be money exchange hands and the richest will be the one who win power.
The ANC says the establishment of the Revolutionary Electoral Commission will ensure that all its deployees are fit and proper to discharge their mandate. According to a discussion document on organizational renewal, the Electoral Commission will screen and recommend members to key positions in government and other public sector institutions.
So the Revolutionary Council will enable us to unpack the question of leadership, so that we don't elect fly-by-nights and we don't elect, bomzegezege. We need leaders with impeccable track record. And how are we going to go about to elect those leaders? That is why the notion of Revolutionary Council. Because if you are in a slate, you can be elected without been properly examined and not even known by branches of the ANC. You can be elected and become a powerful leader, and we ask ourselves, where does he come from when he's already been elected, because he was a product of a slate.
The ANC has also remained firm in rejecting the call by party veterans that a consultative conference be staged before the June policy conference. Tsepo Ikaneng in Johannesburg.
Africa, rise and shine. Africa, Zola. Africa, Amuka na Unai.
It's 8:30 Central African time, and our headlines up next with Anne Musa.
A very good morning to you. I'm Anne Musan. The headlines: South Africa's Deputy President Cyril Ramaphosa has called for an independent probe into mounting claims of state capture. A roadside bomb explosion in a remote town in Somali's semi-autonomous state of Puntland has killed 8 soldiers. And Morocco has summoned Algeria's ambassador to express concern after 54 Syrians attempted to illegally enter the country from Algeria. Those are the stories making headlines.